Hi there. Today, let's go with some unusual news stories to boost your vocabulary and learn how real-world news can be strange. Three odd news items. Not mainstream news, that tends to be depressing and frustrating because as an individual, you can't do much about the wrongs in our world. But let's look at the other side of the news. Exploring stories that might not make the front page, but which are sure to capture your curiosity. From a man who took vaccination to an extreme, to the art of navigating the world in darkness. And finally, tips on detoxing your house or flat. Our goal is to enhance your English listening skills while keeping you engaged, entertained even. These are the sorts of things that I get fed into my news feed or article feed. Articles which an app thinks will be of interest to me. And rather like the Adept English podcast, they're certainly on varied topics. Here goes. Hello, I'm Hilary and you're listening to Adept English. We will help you to speak English fluently. All you have to do is listen. So start listening now and find out how it works. Story number one. The man who has had 217 COVID vaccinations. This is crazy. A man in Germany has had no fewer than 217 vaccinations against COVID. This man, a 62-year-old from a town called Magdeburg, got 217 COVID-19 vaccine shots in the span of 29 months. So vaccination, that's when they come with a needle and stick it in your arm to prevent an illness. And that was an average of one vaccination every 4 days for this man. Clearly something psychologically amiss for a person who would do that. This comes at a time when what's called vaccine hesitancy, meaning when people hesitate to take a vaccine because they're not convinced it's a good idea. Vaccine hesitancy is at an all-time high. What happened in this one-man experiment is of interest. Well, at least the man didn't get COVID, but it's not clear that this couldn't have been achieved with the normal number of doses. And sometimes COVID passes as a simple cold, as happened to me last December. I didn't realise I had COVID for the first time until a family member caught my cold and tested positive. The man also doesn't appear to have experienced any vaccine harm. In total, he got 8 different vaccines, including mRNA vaccines from Pfizer, BioNTech and Moderna, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and the vaccine from Sanofi. The observation that no noticeable side effects were triggered in spite of this extraordinary hypervaccination indicates that the drugs have a good degree of tolerability, a researcher commented. However, in the UK at least, there is some unease about long-term side effects of vaccinations, and the UK government refuses to investigate. I think if there was another pandemic, heaven forbid, it would be perhaps more difficult to persuade people to get vaccinations. Second news article. Humans can develop echolocation. That's echolocation. This is the ability to see with sound, navigating obstacles and identifying objects without relying on sight. Bats, B-A-T-S, are animals with wings and that can fly, but they're not birds. Bats hang upside down in caves and in people's attics. They're a protected animal in the UK. Echolocation? Well, the word echo, E-C-H-O, is a noun, and it's a sound that comes back at you so that you hear it twice. Sounds bounce off objects, and therefore echolocation is what bats use to navigate around. We have a saying in English, blind as a bat. So reputedly, bats cannot see to move around. Sound is what they use instead. And this is not normally the way we as human beings move around, find our way, or navigate, as we say. The verb to navigate, N-A-V-I-G-A-T-E, used to be used largely for ships. But now we have sat-navs, and the verb to navigate is used for all kinds of situations, even things like buying a new kitchen, for instance. You navigate. So why are we being told that echolocation is something that human beings can learn? Well, an article published in Popular Mechanics recently cited or quoted research done in Japan by someone called Miwa Sumiya. It's well known that people who are blind, people who can't see, do develop some sense of space around them using sounds. They learn through sound which part of a well-known room they are in, for example. This is called neural repurposing. Neural means of the brain, that's N-E-U-R-A-L, and if you repurpose something, you use it for a different purpose. So here it means that if you lose one of your senses, your brain can repurpose and adapt to use other senses to compensate, to make up for what's lost. So blind people learn to navigate around by listening to the sound of clicks they make with their mouths. A click sounds like that. The visual part of the brain adapts to use sound rather than images. Clearly, if you cannot see, the situation is more extreme. So the brain understandably adapts to make the most of the senses which are available. But this research was interesting because it tested whether people with sight could be made or induced to use echolocation. The research found that with some brain training, people with sight could be trained to recognize sounds, and this could stand in for visual information. The people taking part in the research, the participants, if you like, were able to tell by echolocation whether an object was moving or not. A small piece of evidence may be, but it shows that bigger adaptations of the brain are possible. So we can train our brain to work more like a bat's. Before I get on to the third article, if you're enjoying the variety of topics in this English language podcast, then consider buying one of our podcast bundles. For a very small price, you can buy 50 Adept English podcasts to download and listen to whenever you like, whether you've got internet or not. Just imagine what that amount of listening will do for your understanding of everyday English. Head to our courses page at adeptenglish.com. The third article I read was called 15 Ways to Detox Every Room in Your Home. And this was published on a site called Prevention, P-R-E-V-E-N-T-I-O-N. To detox means to take out the toxic stuff, to take out the toxins. And prevention usually means getting in the way of something bad, stopping the bad thing happening. I find myself slightly reactive to this. Here's a website devoted to telling people how to prevent disease and ill health by buying certain products and avoiding others. It also advises on how to be tidy and organized. The trouble with it? I can imagine that this sort of website is very rewarding for people with OCD, obsessive compulsive tendencies around being clean, being tidy, and avoiding toxins. I'm not suggesting that all of the people who subscribe and read this material have OCD, but reading it could make you more paranoid about these things. I also think that this type of website is possibly for people who don't have bigger concerns in life to worry about. So with those caveats in mind, that's caveat, C-A-V-E-A-T, that's a word from Latin meaning a warning, something to think about, which limits what I'm about to say. With those caveats, what sorts of actions are recommended in this list of 15 ways to detox every room in your home? Well, the article talks about research by the Silent Spring Organization, who look at what chemicals in our everyday environment may cause problems in our bodies, could lead to things like breast cancer and other diseases. So I guess that makes it a bit more serious. And the advice is things like, if you're cooking in your kitchen and you use a gas hob, then always use your extractor fan. Your hob, H-O-B, is where you use your pans and you cook things. The extractor fan, F-A-N, that's the device which sits above your cooker and your hob and removes steam and cooking fumes from the air. So the information here is that if you cook with gas, there will be nitrogen dioxide and particulates, a bit like those from diesel cars, in the air in your kitchen. So it's best to use an extractor fan. If that's true, I didn't know that. And the article warns against pans, which have black non-stick coatings like Teflon. Apparently, cooking at high temperatures with these types of pans can release nasty chemicals into your food. And if the non-stick coating on your pans is damaged, time to throw them away. Other warnings from this article? Don't assume that your drinking water is safe. The article says, get it tested. I'm not even sure how you would do that in the UK. This article comes from the US, but the article recommends using a water filter. That's F-I-L-T-E-R, if you're going to drink tap water. Bottled water is expensive and also creates the problem of microplastics, so this may be good advice. The article also advises taking off shoes you've worn outside when you come into the house. There may be dirt, pollen, pesticides. Depends where you've walked, I guess. For me, this moves into the territory of being a little bit too fussy. We need a certain amount of bacteria in our lives to function. I don't want to live in a biosecure house. That's me, the gardener speaking, who enjoys getting dirt under her fingernails and thinks it's natural to do so. To see the outside world as though it's just dirty and contaminated isn't healthy, I don't think. More valid-seeming advice? Worry about your furniture. Furniture, F-U-R-N-I-T-U-R-E, means the larger items in your house. Beds, mattresses, sofas, tables and chairs. In the UK before 2015, many pieces of soft furniture were treated with flame-retardant chemicals, so chemicals which made the possibility of fire less likely. If your sofa caught fire, the flame-retardant chemicals would reduce the risk. Like many of these measures, designed to keep us safe, it's now thought that this causes a bigger threat. Flame-retardant chemicals are found to affect the function of our immune system and to be toxic to the human body. Ugh, that's a problem then. So fair enough, maybe we need to worry about our sofas and mattresses. So that's a little taste today of the sorts of articles which I find in my online newsfeed. Things which some algorithm somewhere thinks I'll be interested in reading. What's in your newsfeed and does it reflect your particular interests? Let us know. Don't forget to listen a number of times to practice your English. Enough for now. Have a lovely day. Speak to you again soon. Goodbye. Thank you so much for listening. Please help me tell others about this podcast by reviewing or rating it. And please share it on social media. You can find more listening lessons and a free English course at adeptenglish.com.